Forever. Dog.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
You know, we've done a lot of intros and outros. We've done two intros per episode. No, we've done one intro and one outro per episode, but that's two episodes we've covered so far. And I'm just saying all this because I know Anna likes numbers gags.
For a three-part, and so what's happening right now,
this is the
most confusing intro that I am in right now. The reality I'm in is bending. It's bending, guys. I can't
it's
say
bending.
It's not because it is. So,
but we can't wait to have you guys listen to the beginning of season 7 of Treks in the City, the beginning of season 7 of Star Trek: The Next Generation Descent Part 2 with Paul F. Tompkins. Stay tuned.
Because it's coming now.
New audio recording. Paul.
New audio recording. Samuel.
It's your new improv name.
Your new improv name. So we are here.
We are here.
How are you guys? How are you? How are you feeling? How are you doing?
How are
Long
you
time
feeling?
No see.
How are you doing? Long time
Welcome
no see.
Welcome to Treks in the City.
I'm Alice Wetterland.
And I'm Veronica Osorio.
And
we're here with our friend and co-host of sometimes, but often the end of seasons and beginnings of seasons, as it were.
The two-parters.
Two-parters. Very happy.
Two-parters. Two-parters.
Very happy to have in the studio with us right now.
Here's Johnny.
Our favorite.
Wow.
Number one. Waiting all day.
Why are the worst ones so much louder?
I don't know.
the levels are all over the place. Other people tried to get on this show and tried to do this episode, but we said,
"You shall not pass!"
And we just made sure.
P.U.
We wanted.
He just like shakes his head no slowly.
Only the very best, Paul F. Tompkins.
Hey! Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Sit down. Everyone sit down. Come on.
Calm down. Come on.
Wow.
Hey, it's one thing if I say it.
Wow.
No. Come. All right, calm down.
Okay, calm down. Calm down. We're fine.
Okay, calm what down. Calm down.
Instead of your hype man, I went with you to your shows and calmed people down. For you. Would you like that?
He's like, if you knew him, you wouldn't be so excited. Yeah, that would be great.
Look, he's not that great.
Ronnie, what are you eating now?
Sounds like a segment.
Right? Yeah, it should be.
Here we are.
What's Veronica eating today?
Taco salad.
Taco salad.
Taco salad.
Oh, you're having a taco salad. Taco salad, jacket potatoes.
I hate cats.
I love cats.
What's that a clip from?
It's Riker and Beverly.
I hate cats.
I love cats.
Fuck.
Star-crossed cat lovers.
Was that during the writer's strike?
Finally, Paul's eating. Oh my God,
Paul is eating.
You guys forced
Paul
me into
is
it.
Paul is eating.
Welcome to the Treks in the City picnic.
He is
picnic with friends.
He's our favorite guest, who's normally wasting away, never eating. When he should be, which is during every podcast recording. I'm reintroducing him for no reason. Mr. Paul F. Tompkins.
Hi.
Hi,
hi.
Paul.
We can now, loop
what's
your
said your sister name, your sister lives in Germany. What's her name?
I'm not going to tell you that.
I'm not going to tell you that, F. Tompkins.
Alice, you've done it. Her name is Anne.
Anne.
Yeah. It's a good solid name. Four letters.
I like it. Oh, four with an E at the end. Mm-hmm. Like of Green Gables. That's cute.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see if you can speak German right now. Like, 1, 2, 3.
Nine.
He never say he could speak German. But I'm assuming Anne can.
If my sister lives in Germany, why would I be able to speak German? She's from America.
Am I Venezuelan to assume?
Am I too Venezuelan to assume that?
But you, I'm like, my brother's in Belgium. I should learn some French.
But he, like when he stopped speaking his native language to you. Look, I'm in Belgium. I just speak French now. That's it. The end. One language, yeah. One place at a time, one language at a time.
He's difficult like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You heard of immersion, but have you heard of just your brother being an asshole?
Well, he started dating someone from Belgium, and they only speak English, but...
What?
When I visit my brother in Belgium, he speaks French, but also he dates someone from there.
So nobody speaks Belge?
But they speak English with each other? They don't speak French?
Her son only speaks Dutch. My brother speaks French.
What and the everyone fuck? In Belgium.
I don't know.
Did he
this
come
all
out
all over the place?
It's crazy. It is crazy.
What is this, United Nations?
It's Belgium.
Forget it, Jake. It's Belgium. It's
literally. Belgium has like three.
Forget it, Jake.
It has
Jake.
Three.
It's Belgium.
The borders are crazy. They have two languages. They don't. It's weird. They have UN. All the UN stuff is there. It's like a weird, weird country. Paul, what's your menu? What's your menu, Paul?
I'm having leftovers from last night. It's a little sausage and some Frenched fries.
Oh.
They're
very
crinkle
very
cut, and I'm eating them cold.
Oh,
that's kind of delicious. It's kind of sad, but it's delicious.
Sad but delicious.
Cold fries.
That's the story of my life.
That's Jordy's story arc in this episode.
Sad but delicious.
That's literally Jordy's story arc. That's the sassiest way.
Literally Jordy's story arc. Sad but delicious.
Sad but delicious. Delicious. Because Data wants to do things to him.
He thought they were just friends all this time. I want to do things to you.
So are
Look,
you
I don't
want to
wreck, I don't want to wreck our friendship, but I want to do stuff to you.
What?
Ronnie, what was your question?
Ryan.
What are you excited to?
Ryan, what was your question? Some guy comes into the screen. Hey Ryan, could you grab me that?
I was just wondering.
You done with the dryer?
Can I leave now?
Hey.
Hey. It's me, Ryan.
Hey, guys. So what are you guys looking forward to talking about in this episode?
Well,
this is the very last beginning of a season ever.
Are you sad? I want to talk about, I'm looking forward to talking about the plot, about the story, about the characters.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, you really belittled him. You got him.
You set me up.
You set him right up.
Sorry.
So, I am looking forward to talking about this episode because I think I didn't pay enough attention to it while we watched it, to be perfectly honest. Because
that
missed...
sounds great. Now I'm looking forward to that.
No, because I was looking for that part when Paul sent us the video of the Borg walking differently, and I never saw it. So I'm like, how
Visor.
Did I miss that?
You were like Visor.
It was like Visor. I wasn't. So I'm like, I must not have been watching it enough, like with enough focus.
No. It's so quick.
I'm so thirsty for this.
Yeah, but there's
episode?
Not that many scenes where they're outside. So I thought I paid attention. But you know me.
Picard tries to free Data from Lore's control. The Enterprise battles the Borg ship. So this is like the season premiere of the very last season.
And let's watch the recap because they give it to us. And it's so rare that they ever give us a recap of anything.
And so I'll say, imagine bitches. Those people back then, like season finale, just waiting for this one to air. Like the cliffhangers from last season were pretty
hangy.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like
pretty hangy.
Crusher ended the season as captain.
It's true. We don't know what's going to happen now. She might be the captain forever. She might not give it back up.
That'd be cool. She's pretty chill. She's like, move this thing here, move that there.
She really okay. is like that.
She's like a cool cat.
Last time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Last time?
Stop! It's just after I had killed the boy, I felt something.
Makeup. I believe
it was...
The strange.
Pleasure.
I don't believe they were part of the Borg Collective. One of them referred to himself as I.
The only Borg who had a name was Hugh.
We are Hugh.
Was it I or you?
This room. I could have rid the Federation of a mortal threat, and I let him go.
The Borg have established several trans-warp conduits through subspace.
Hup! Hup!
Get down! I was like you once, without feeling.
And without a bunch of cords.
But the one helped me. He can help you too. He can help you find emotion. You will not resist what you've wanted all your life.
If the Borg should attack, don't wait for me or anyone else to return to the ship, but take the Enterprise to the transwarp conduit. Return to Federation space.
Just like, okay. Stop!
Law.
Don't pretend like you got
the
it
sons
first.
Of Sung have
thing.
Together. And together, we will destroy the Federation.
And now the conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
We really skipped over that part where actually it was Deanna that figured out it wasn't Data.
Yeah, we really skipped also over Beverly accepting command, like, yeah.
I got this.
Picard was like, take it to the next post and disappear and leaving me behind and all the other crew members as soon as you see the Borg. And she's just like, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely do that. So don't worry.
You got it.
I was like, I trust her.
Go she for Beverly. Like
she, yeah. I don't know. She gave me full trust. So they missed that in the recap. I don't know.
Kind of a big deal, but whatever. I guess it's just a woman's part.
Just women killing it.
So, they have to escape this horrible Borg city that they've started inhabiting.
Borgopolis, I call it.
Borg town.
Summer in the city.
Borg down. Summer in the city. A bunch of tubes coming out of my titties.
Borgolis. Oh god.
First pass. Borgolis. First pass.
You're not wrong.
It's true.
You're not wrong though.
What was the song that says "I once was"? A song with a lyric that says "I once was." Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
I once was the piano man. Is that it?
Ganaste, sí.
Ghana?
You win.
What? You can just say any song?
You said one.
Well,
I just had like, you said I once had a bunch of tubes and then not, and then I was trying to find a song that matched with that, and then I couldn't find it. But I almost have it. So I'm curious to see what you guys think when I say once was.
I once was Poison Ivy, but now I'm your Daisy. Don't Blame Me by Taylor Swift.
Wow. Very shocked at this, that just happened.
As Good As I Once Was by Toby Keith. Is that that's probably what you're thinking of?
Probably.
That's probably what it is.
I saw online somebody say that they thought that Taylor Swift was this generation's Joni Mitchell.
Whoa.
And I was like, has she ever written one of her own songs? And so I tried to look it up.
Taylor?
And yeah.
Taylor only writes her own songs.
I don't know that that's true. Because the first answer that I found said there's very strong evidence that leads us to believe that she writes her own song. But nothing that flat out said, yes, here are her songwriting credits.
Do you think that's really? Because she's a woman?
That people don't think she writes her own songs?
That was phrased like that. Because I think it's
no, this was somebody
clear.
Like defending her. Somebody was saying, like, because I guess this is something that comes up a lot for her, maybe, That's the way it was phrased to me. It was like, actually, there's a lot of evidence that leads us to believe she does write her own songs. But that's a very strange. That's not the same as saying, yes, she wrote these songs here.
You know what I mean? She wrote these songs. Yes.
I was just like, but I didn't. But then I thought that was so funny that I stopped the search. So I don't know if she's credited as writing her own songs. Like I don't.
She is.
If she is credited as writing the songs, I believe that.
Taylor Swift.
I'm on the Taylor Swift official Reddit, and no,
can't go wrong.
This is amazing. This is Alice and I. This is where we can. This is the other podcast we should talk about.
Taylor Swift. This is a good idea for another podcast.
I am super into Taylor Swift.
I think she's a lyric writer. She writes her lyrics for sure. But the song melody, she collaborates. But she writes.
But she does write her own lyrics.
Yes, and she writes her own song melodies. Like she starts the melody sometimes with like piano, guitar. In the documentary, you see her coming up with melodies.
Okay, which I have not seen
all the time.
This is just to be clear, I'm not coming from a place of I don't think she writes her own songs. I've never thought about it before.
The only thing I was have like, no idea.
When I saw that claim, that comparison, I was like, that's a big swing.
That's a big one. Yeah, because Joni Mitchell really didn't collaborate a lot.
Joni Mitchell. It's just like,
Joni Mitchell. Did you hear about Paradise? It got paved.
Why do we need a Joni Mitchell of this decade? There's a Joni Mitchell of each decade, maybe.
Joni Mitchell saw Paradise and I said, that's a parking lot. I want to make some money.
I got big ideas.
It's a weird mentality to like want to have like one of each generation. I listened to a podcast about pop music and they're just these two guys and they explain pop music.
So every podcast?
I love Taylor Swift.
Listen to a podcast and it was these two guys.
I understand.
No, it's
like every podcast is two guys. That's the majority of podcasts is me.
That's funny.
Joni Mitchell.
These two guys talk about pop and they really love Taylor Swift.
I saw James Taylor and I said, now that's a snack.
Okay.
James Taylor, how do you look like a snack?
We have
an absolute unit.
I seen fire and I seen rain and I seen that and I was like, ooh, Johnny likes.
Sexually predatory Joni Mitchell. Oh God.
I could drink a Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Let me get in that sandwich.
Yeah, I could drink a case of you. You know what I'm saying?
This sucks.
The reviews are in. This bit is not good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I try to be different, but I can't.
Oh my God,
Jesus, ever-loving fuck.
Anyway, Star Trek.
Anyway, Star Trek. Exactly. That's what the name of this show should have been.
Frankly,
anyway, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
The beginning of the... How much time do you think people waited between the airing of those two episodes?
Oh, right. Yeah. Like 3 months.
Let's see, September the 20th. The second one was in September 20th, and the first one,
right?
June 21st of June.
Am I too close to the mic?
21st of June. Yeah, so they waited like the summer.
The summer, right? Yeah,
it was the summer, and they didn't know what happened to Beta.
They just had to watch 1, 2, 3 o'clock Saturday, Latter Day Saints.
A Latter Saint. A Saint. If you're just joining us.
If you're just
go
joining
back
us.
To episode, the previous one. Switch back. You didn't.
Oh, fuck.
You need to understand.
I'm crying.
Okay, so.
Oh, my niece used to do that when she would not get something that she wanted when she was little, and she was denied like a candy or something like that. She was told she couldn't do something. She would start crying and then say, like, really play it up by saying, "I'm crying."
What a move!
It was amazing. It was amazing. She is now on her way to law school.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Now I'm crying.
No, so, I'm crying.
What a move. It's true. What a move. Like,
it did not work. But it was a big swing. It did not work, but it was, I admire the effort.
It was bold. Respect. Bold as fuck. I mean,
mad respect.
Mad respect.
Mad respect for that move.
I'm crying.
So we are just
Borg.
Seeing. The Borg are rowdy. And Lore.
The Borg got rowdy.
Rowdy.
They really are.
They're a bunch of rowdy boys. Borg are coming over tonight.
And they're Laura's like
humans
pure,
will not replace us.
Like his shaman gave him the cottons that he made his padding with.
I don't know. See those cottons.
The cottons that he made his padding with. Oh, are we talking about Laura's outfit?
Laura's in like a cotton outfit, and the Borg are like
what?
Blank, blank, metal and tubes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
He, what's so funny is like, you, like the Borg have it too, like have fake abs, you know, mm-hmm. like sort of 300 armor type, you know, molded abs. Mm-hmm. But then his,
and
Laura's outfit is like this heathered cotton thing. It's like,
I know,
why
it's like
would
fancy.
You put abs on that? It's fucking hilarious.
It's like a guy who goes upstate, you know?
What?
I put abs on my PJs because I'm going upstate.
I think you all know I'm headed to Rochester.
That's what it is.
I'm going to our state capital, Albany, and
don't
I
don't get it twisted.
My,
on my way to Buffalo,
I
got to have
six flannel
pack.
Abs.
Why does upstate always mean New York?
I know. Upstate
no matter
New York.
Where we are,
upstate New yep. York. Look.
I mean, it look, is upstate New York.
Look, they got their first upstate New York.
Okay, let's hit it. They are trapped.
Let's hit it!
To enjoy killing. You were wrong, Captain. My brother and I serve a much higher purpose.
Data, I can sense feelings in you.
Yes, my brother has made that possible.
He gave you the chip. He gave you the chip.
The one Dr. Soong made for you.
I want it.
No.
Callback from the thing.
I still have the emotional program my father designed. I wouldn't want to give it up. It's what has given me such a strong sense of family. An intense desire to reunite with my dear brother.
How did he do it, Data?
Smart.
What made you decide to come here?
I am talking to you, Picard. I will tell you all you need to know.
And then I'll get on the motorcycle.
And you've corrupted the Borg.
Fucking hate when people say that.
I don't understand. You have no idea.
People always think that.
How I found my true calling. How the Borg found something to believe in.
I would like to learn about that. But I want Data to tell us.
I told you. I will tell you what you need to know.
He's like John Krasinski.
He won't even let you talk.
Wait. Pause.
Do not try to drop.
Why is it like John Krasinski?
Didn't he do like a movie where he needs to wear like some armor or something?
Well, yeah, but how is that? Bridge
Orion?
The gap for me.
I don't know.
Bridge what? That gap.
It's just like so buff, but it's just like.
Oh, you're just talking
Data's
about physicality.
Face. Yeah. It's still Data's face, so it looks so funny.
There's this thing online about celebrities stealing like creators' ideas and then making a ton of money off them. John Krasinski is implicated because.
Like what?
He is doing this show called Some Good News, mm-hmm. and there's already a show called Some More News, and it's basically a guy who just does like a news program, and it's a really, really similar, like, it's a similar format, and
And where does this guy do it? In YouTube?
He's been a YouTube, creator for a long time. He's a comedian. And, like, John Krasinski started this show. And then John Krasinski sold the show for, like, millions of dollars. And he's not on the show. Like, John Krasinski isn't even on the show. He just sold the concept of a news.
He was on the show.
No, he just sold the idea of a news show.
This is kind of scandalous.
Yeah.
Very scandalous. Because why wasn't he part of it? He just wanted, is he money laundering? Idea laundering.
Well, also he's like. He's idea laundering. And also the other thing is, like, the guy does this whole, like, comparative thing where he talks about, like, how John Krasinski presents good news. And he's like, during the protests, John Krasinski kept showing videos of, like, police hugging protesters and stuff like that. Ugh. And, like, the guy's like, you know, if you're going to do good news, maybe just do, like, actual, there's actually good things happening in the world that you could cover, but instead you're just trying to, like, water down, like, bullshit for people to make it more palatable for them to be conservative.
Making and bad news not so bad.
Making bad news.
It's not as bad as you think.
And that's what it is. He's not giving good news. He's making bad news less bad.
Yeah.
Here's what I think he's doing. He's making good news out of bad news being less bad.
And during a uprising against police, to be John Krasinski, who in essence has made all of his money from being like a likable character on The Office, but then every other thing since he's played like CIA people, like he's played multiple CIA officers, and he's like a shill for the CIA basically. And he talks all the time about how great the CIA is and how everybody should love the CIA, the people who made COINTELPRO, which like is really. Fucked up during this time. Yeah, so it's super interesting video. I highly recommend.
He just sounds problematic at this point.
Oh, he's super problematic.
From the beginning point sounded problematic.
I don't like him.
The YouTuber thing is just like, come on, man. Don't sell the show. But he wasn't in it. So that's crazy.
It's so, I just assumed he was in it.
No. Me
it's
too.
So funny.
No, he just sold an idea of a news show, which is like already exists. Like,
I guess what's so weird about it is the idea that you would swipe somebody else's idea, but not even I want to do that.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to make money from that idea. It's like, I don't understand. Like, if you're like,
Shakira with a salsa player. She stole the beat.
What? I won't hear a word against Shakira.
No, please no.
She got sued. Then the guy is just like, it's too famous of a salsa song to like steal the exact same beat. So it was like he was like, no one paid me for this, and we were all like, but you came first. We've been dancing to your song forever. So it was like indisputable.
I've never heard of this case. That sucks.
It's like it's my kind of gossip. And then. And then Beyonce too. She was like a lot of dance pieces from YouTube and YouTubers and like different creators.
I did hear about that. So yeah, she has a thing with Sia.
Yeah,
and with then, Sia. Like,
Sia, a big thing with Sia.
Really?
Sia apparently wrote some really important songs, and then the whole deal was that she was going to get a writing credit on the album, and then they like took her off at the last minute without telling her, and it was this whole thing.
Wow. And then the countdown video also, like, some of the choreographies there have been claimed to be from a specific dance people on YouTube and stuff. So it's just like
crazy.
But they're executing their own like things that they're taking. They're taking inspiration from it or whatever. But this guy just like straight up was like, "Oh, this is a great idea for me to make $1 million with, and like I don't even have to go on set ever. Like associate myself."
And I get really upset, and I think this is what sparks like people to be really mad at Ellen. It's not because Ellen, it's like obviously Ellen being shitty to her employees is not great, but the fact that she markets herself as being like all about kindness,
exactly.
And like John Krasinski is the exact same way, just like we gotta all love each other, guys. Like well, I'm just a normal dude, and it's like no,
so dangerous. That's a guy that everyone warns us about.
Yeah. Everyone warns us.
There's you, and then there's the guy she told you not to worry about.
Yes. Hello. Meme. Verbal
you know
meme.
What? Meme. Hello. Meme.
It's true. There is me, and then there is...
It's true.
Finish it.
The guy he told me not to worry about. And I'm here like.
For the listeners at home, she made a face like, oh.
That's true. You know what, Paul? You made a good point.
So. Nope. back in Borgtown.
Yeah.
Things are not going well.
Back in Borgtown.
Borgtown.
But Beverly is doing okay.
She's doing okay.
Beverly's chill as fuck.
I think she's really stepping up, you know?
Nothing can take her chill away.
Yeah, she's like holding it down. She's like, okay, this is, I've received yet more bad information. what would you guys like to do in this situation? Like, just trying not to freak out because everything fucking sucks.
This is the one episode where Beverly takes command and she goes and flies the Enterprise straight into the fucking sun.
Yeah.
So good. It's so true.
It's like, oh, I have command? Got it. Okay.
That's all right. Yeah, I wish they could skip. Very hazy on like, how is this the plan?
I wish they skipped everything else that happened on board. And she's like, I got it, Captain. You have to worry about me. Set a course directly into the sun.
It was just like, boom. It was like, she was so epic. She was like, I'm not going to waste my chance. I'm not going
to
waste
I've
my chance.
I always wanted to do this.
I'm giving away my shot.
Shot. I started watching Hamilton. I'm like 1 hour from finishing.
We can tell. She's like, yo.
It shows, Ronnie.
She's like, in the sun where it happened, where I wanted to be.
Excuse me.
Yeah? Sorry, yeah?
What is that music from?
It's a royalty-free audio that I use for my Hamilton sounds.
It's Hamilton.
That sounded like it Ball. Could literally
be
anything.
Captain of a ship, you've never flown directly to the sun. This time I've got my chance to be real. But just...
Captain! I was going to chorus in.
I'm
she
sorry.
Was going to chorus in!
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Chorus in.
Captain.
Go for it.
Not giving away my shot. Hey, I'm not giving away my shot to be in the sun where it happens. The sun where it happens. All the blaze of the sun on my ship. Shut up, Paul.
I didn't say anything.
Veronica.
It's the sun, it's the sun. We're flying to the sun.
And I cut all
tell
this
me
out.
We were rolling on that.
Just kidding. Tell me we're rolling on this.
Oh, I recorded.
You don't need to.
Oh, I recorded it. I just
haven't recorded. I've been recording. So this okay. is episode
seven. Episode one. No.
I feel like we keep going back further and further.
I know it's true.
This is a weird day, guys.
So this is Star Trek.
Paul is here.
And season seven, episode one.
She just took command of the Enterprise. People are downstairs in the planet.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is downstairs on the planet.
Picard. It's where it's at. And Picard, Geordi, and Troy are trapped by Lore. And then Riker and Worf are somewhere else.
They're just like wandering around a meadow.
They're just like having a
I don't see
day.
Data.
They're picking wild mountain Worf. Time.
Commander Worf, check behind that tree. Not here.
He is not there.
And this is the location that I say was filmed today. Because the sky right. looks like ashy as fuck.
Very ashy.
This guy needs some lotion. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Not the theme song.
No, it did not mean for that to happen.
Let's watch all 10 minutes
of
credits.
We need to modify the sensor array to filter out these EM pulses. Can you do that?
Yes, sir. I think so.
I love it. Hey,
the fuck you say?
What's your name?
Tate, sir.
I don't think I've seen you before.
I was just posted here 6 weeks ago.
Well, Tate.
I've spent all that time on my hair.
Literally.
6 weeks.
With the Admiral. We're friends.
I think I filtered out some of the sensor noise. I'll bring the modifications online.
Good work.
Riker to Enterprise.
Go ahead, Will.
I can't contact the captain.
Could just be interference, but I'd like to be sure.
I wish she was like, well, technically, I'm the captain, so.
Enterprise to Captain Picard.
Sorry, which captain do you mean? Me? Because you're talking to me right now.
To Picard. I'm not getting a comm signal from anyone on the captain's team.
The last time they checked in, they were investigating a structure in section Gamma 25.
Sir, I'm picking up a vessel closing in on our location.
Good one or a bad one?
Is it a Borg ship?
It seems to match the configuration of the ship the Enterprise encountered at Oniaka 3.
Oniaka 3!
How long before they're in weapons range?
About 90 seconds. No, make that 70 seconds.
Russia to transporter room 3.
Salazar here, sir.
Start transporting the away teams off of the surface.
Aye, sir.
Use the transporters in the
car. Oh, the guy from the shield.
I want those teams up here as fast as possible.
Get the babies. She's a fire mother.
Yeah, she's a tiger mom. So she...
I said fire mother. You said tiger mom.
Look, different. I say fire mother, you say tiger mom.
Tiger mom. Fire mother, tiger mom.
Some people say shark woman.
You say tomato. I say tomato.
You say shark potato. Woman, I say baby shark.
I say
doot doot doot
doot doot doot doot doot doot doot.
You say doot doot doot, I say doot doot doot.
In an early draft, Barclay was to be on the bridge as part of the skeleton crew.
Barkles.
But due to availability and cost issues, Ensign Tate was written to take his place. What does that mean?
That means he cost too much money. His guest star rate was too high. And they were like, let's get someone no one's ever heard of and give her a shot for a change.
Can you imagine that
your rate worked out so well?
Yes, it did.
Your rate goes up and then suddenly it's like, sorry, we can't write you in.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that's why I'm never cast.
Well, luckily, those rates don't mean anything anymore.
It's true.
Now they laugh at you.
That's what I was thinking.
I get this much for doing that. No, you don't anymore.
No, sir.
We figured it out. Why were we ever paying you stuff?
Exposure. Do you know,
back when I was a young man and I was just starting out in this business, and I came here to Hollywood, California to make my fortune, and they had things called holding deals. Have you ever heard of that? Holding deals where they would just say, people are talking about you, that you're talented. We're going to give you some money so you don't go anywhere else. We might not even do anything with you. But here's just a bunch of money to not be on another network. It was a grand time.
Oh, a time. Now it's like, you better be grateful that you're getting snacks.
Alice, you couldn't have said it better.
Oh, but I could have, huh?
I literally took a snack basket from set decoration yesterday during shooting.
They're like, I know it's not much, but you should be thankful. Here's your Skittles.
I was like, I'm taking that. And they were like, I'm not saying anything.
Call me if you need anything. This is my cell phone. And then they just throw it in the trash.
Could you say, what is a snack basket? In your terms,
it was like one of those baskets you deliver to somebody for like a present,
right?
Full of stuffing and then like cars, water crackers,
like a
and
gift
some chocolates,
basket.
Yeah, but with snacks.
Was it a gift basket?
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a gift for me. It was a set decoration.
Oh, I knew it wasn't for you. Oh, it's a set decoration, but with real food.
Yeah.
God love you. You got to do what you got to do.
Guys,
ooh,
fun
like
fact.
Dog treats.
Who's ready?
Yeah.
I've eaten dog treats.
So Hugh, in this episode, Hugh.
Yeah.
He's back from that episode, same actor, but he shares no screen time with Geordi, which is the closest connection he actually made in his episode, I, Borg. The friendship is mentioned, but they don't have a scene. There was so much going on that I didn't notice it, but it's true. I'm like, oh, right.
It's actually quite sad.
Yeah,
it is sad. It's sad.
Okay, well.
Can I point out the actor, one of the actors on the bridge, maybe he's not on the bridge. Maybe he's in engineering.
Actor, please.
Benito, I can't remember his last name. He was on The Shield for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little trivia, that's all.
Thank you, Paul. A welcome addition.
I got lots of trivia if you guys like it.
Oh, does he? No, thanks.
Yeah.
The way you finish stating the fact seemed like a question.
Nobody likes trivia. I got lots of it.
Thank you, though.
Okay, thanks.
I'll be right here if you need that trivia.
You're looking healthy. Right.
Yeah, you keep
I don't feel
hydrating.
Very good, but
you look healthy.
You.
We'll bring you back some snacks.
I got a good skin regimen, but don't take care of myself otherwise.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It's health comes from within, you know.
Let's play a clip.
That's what I've heard.
I'm interested
in play a clip.
Play the clip.
The Enterprise was a waste.
How
so
dare.
Mean.
My quest to become human, misguided.
Human.
An evolutionary step in the wrong direction.
Data, all I'm sensing from you is anger and hatred. Have you felt any other emotions?
There are no other emotions.
Data, just because you haven't experienced certain emotions doesn't mean they don't exist.
Fox News.
Only feeding you the negative ones.
That's what I tell all my boyfriends.
Counselor Troy told me that feelings are not negative or positive. It is how we act on them that makes them good or bad.
Fine. But what about the things the war is proposing? What about the lives that have already been lost?
You simply do not understand. In a quest such as ours, sacrifices have to be made.
Correct.
It's regrettable, but the greater good must be served.
Growl.
This is so shitty.
It's really shitty.
Give it to me, or I will take it by force.
And give it to me, Jordy.
Take it by force.
What, with that Samsung phone?
I'll take that.
So mean.
It's awful. This episode is very upsetting.
I am not your
upsetting.
Puppet anymore.
Well,
very
we didn't
upsetting.
Realize. You mean you could have been our puppet this whole time?
Well, we're going to need a new puppet, so what do you propose?
I would have been like, I didn't know you thought you were a puppet.
The card's like, not a puppet.
No puppet, no puppet.
No puppet, no puppet.
So Data.
I know, it's so shitty.
It's so weird to see Data not give a fuck about Geordi. It's like our best relationship that we have.
In our lives.
Our entire lives. Most to me, it's like one of my most beloved relationships because
you're very alone.
When he tells that anecdote, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I mean, it's like... That Geordi always treats Data like he's just the person he's always wanted to be. And it's so cute and it's so like heartwarming because, yeah, Geordi doesn't give a fuck. Like, I'll treat you equal. And then
I can't see.
He's like,
maybe he thinks Data is human.
Can you imagine at this
That's why
point?
He's always like, Data,
you're a robot?
They've never clarified.
Maybe you should
that
tell
Geordi-
somebody.
They never made it clear. They never made it clear that Geordi understands what is going on. So I don't know.
But to see Data be mean to Geordi is super jarring.
It's hurtful.
An unwelcome addition, I think, to this series.
For real.
I'm glad they didn't stick with it.
I'm glad they took it.
Yeah.
I'm glad they decided to dump it by the end of the episode.
They tested it in this episode. Hey, what if we make him addicted to Geordi all the time?
Listen, it was a painful thing when, like, did you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
So when Willow turns bad and it's real, it's just like, fuck. It just hurts because it's your real friend. So this one hurt me. I was like, Data, I know you're being manipulated, but why are you treating Geordi like that? It hurts.
I remember when Willow went bad. It's a tough time.
It was a tough time. It was a tough time. Tough time for everyone.
Meanwhile, back upstairs.
Let's fly directly into the sun. She's eating gummies.
Sir, we've reached the core of the conduit.
I just beamed on board from a soap opera.
The Matrix is energized and ready to go. And Lieutenant Barnaby has returned from the surface. He'll be relieving me.
Right. Stand by to trigger the conduit.
It sucked down there,
Tate,
by the way.
I want you to stay on the bridge. I'll need a science officer at the aft station.
Yes, sir.
Oh, she's pumped.
I love her.
Helm.
She
set
rules.
Set a course to return to the planet.
Aye, sir.
And that hair is, like, amazing. There.
An emergency buoy can transmit a copy of our log entries to Starfleet just as easily as we can. Ensign, prepare a buoy and launch it when ready.
Aye, sir.
Lieutenant, open the conduit.
Beautiful.
Launching buoy
so
now,
good.
Sir.
Lieutenant, scan for any Borg ships between here and the planet.
Sensors detect no vessels.
We have to assume the ship that attacked us is still in orbit.
How long will we have before they can detect us and intercept?
If their sensors function as well as ours, it could be as little as 30 seconds.
That's half a minute from now.
How long will it take to get the rest of the crew off the surface?
All the people of color got us the power.
If I could get a good lock on them quickly,
shield guy,
I might be able to do it in 45 or 50 seconds.
A Spanish accent!
We need to buy ourselves 15 seconds.
Shield guy.
Lieutenant.
How much do seconds cost?
We can use the planet as a barrier to keep the Borg from realizing we're in orbit.
We can enter orbit while they're on the far side of the planet.
Talk faster.
And if we delay dropping out of warp until the last possible instant,
let's see now.
If your calculations are even slightly off, we'd hit the atmosphere.
I'll just have to be sure my calculations are accurate, Ensign.
Oh.
Oh, so mean.
Now's not the time for meanness.
Let's do it. Helm, hard about. Aye, sir.
Ugh. You know what's hard about that? Beverly.
Guys, Salazar, you have no idea what this means to me.
Nobody launches a buoy like Beverly.
Very true.
Buoy, they called her Buoyverly.
Buoyverly.
In the academy.
In the academy, yes.
You guys started it. You guys started that nickname. I can tell.
You guys started it? You guys gotta end it.
We started that nickname and we'll finish it.
Because you guys are too giddy about it.
I think we're appropriately giddy, Ronnie. What are you even doing? What are you looking at?
Do you not like Star Trek?
Beverly is just like, that crew, that guy, Salazar with his accent, mm-hmm. is the first time I hear an accent like that in all of Star Trek. I was just like, Salazar, hypnotized. Yeah. I'm like, take me to your leader.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character in all of Star Trek.
See, representation matters.
He changed the game for me. I am like Salazar.
Didn't Voyager have a Latinx character as a series regular?
Taurus,
right?
Taurus.
Yeah, but that's not until Voyager. Come on.
And
but she
the
said
accents,
this,
she, I don't
this
think she has
Salazar's her favorite character in all of Star Trek.
Yeah, the whole franchise.
This guy from this one episode.
Yep, I prefer the accent.
Oh, I see. Accent, you're a real accent queen.
Yeah, a real one.
Because I've been begging. It's just like begging to normalize accents like Spanish, Espanol, just mm-hmm. like they're being mm-hmm. like more casual and you can just be whoever and then also speak like this. It's okay.
Exactly. Because why can everybody suddenly have a British accent all the time? It's just always
without
fine.
Having to justify why I'm like shooting guns or whatever. You know, I can just be like pew pew.
Did you ever see Diego Luna talk about being in Rogue One, that Star Wars movie?
No, what did he say?
I'm leaning in, though.
He was taught. You literally are leaning in.
He's too hot not to lean in.
Talked about how excited his dad was to see him in a movie like this with his own natural accent, mm-hmm. And it not being addressed. He was just playing a character.
I know. Mm-hmm. And how much it meant addressed. To
him. Yeah.
Wow. It was a similar experience.
Yeah. It was a great anecdote. I love that guy. He's in Narcos Mexico, which we're watching now.
That warms my heart.
And famously, Diego Luna talks like this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Diego Luna. Hey. Welcome to space.
Welcome to space.
Who likes to look at a star? I do. So let's go there now. Whoosh.
The other day I had to shoot a Jedi.
They're like, all right, and action. I hope my daddy is watching.
Hey, Dad, sorry.
And they're like, can we
breaking
not?
The fourth wall, Daddy.
That was like the first theater play I ever was in. I was like 9 or 10. And then I stand on stage like this and I saw my family. Hmm. And I was like.
No.
And then my mom was like, you did so great. Your character was so beautiful. You can't wave from the stage. And I was like. Putting it together, finally. Like, just because it's in my private world, it doesn't mean people can't see me wave. Just because in my mind, I'm just like, low-key waving at my mom.
I had somebody, I saw a friend in a Broadway play who knew I was coming to the play. And then, you know, I got her comp seats. And so she knew exactly where I was going to be sitting. And during the curtain call, she mouthed the word hi to me, and it was the funniest thing. It was so casual. It was so casual. It's so crazy. Like, you're on fucking Broadway. Hi.
That's so funny. Weren't you so flattered and embarrassed?
I was not embarrassed. Miss Thing. I was only flattered and delighted.
Of course. Don't wave that shit at me in my face. I hit you with my crayon marker.
Crayon.
A new pronunciation for that word. I can't believe we're up to like 8 now.
Crayola.
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 That's amazing.
Crayola.
It's beautiful.
I finished it.
Aye.
Red alert, everybody. Look out, because it's
crazy. I might glue stickers to it.
Look out, Diego Luna coming to the picture. Hello. What?
I'm sorry to be so sexy all the time.
I'm dangerous.
Uh-oh, I'm so dangerous. Be careful me.
I'm so dangerous.
Be careful me.
Be careful me.
Be careful me.
No, but it does happen. So in the first season of Strange Angel, I didn't have to justify my accent or origin at all. I had so much, so many other more interesting mysteries going on. And then the season ended and I never had to justify my origin. And it was like, wow, such a refresher. Yeah, it was great. I was just able
it's
to
like
be
a Mentos.
Like a what?
A Mentos, the fresh maker.
El frescador.
Like a Mentos? It was a Mentos.
El frescador.
It was a
El
racial
frescador.
Mentos.
Sí.
El Mentos. Frescador.
El Mentos.
El frescador. El Mentos.
Well, that's what it was. So I love Salazar and Salazar Forever. Salazar stickers.
All right. Salazar
stickers. Salazar merch.
Let's see.
Salazar lunchbox.
Salazar buttons.
Yes. Yes.
Salazar blow up doll.
A Salazar
wait.
Line. Wait.
Wait. Wait. Took
one
a hard
second.
Turn.
What did you say? Wait, what?
Commander.
Oh, they found it.
Here's a thing that we never could have seen before now.
That's LA today.
It does look like LA today.
Oh, it's crazy. Borg's found them.
Or like Valencia. And
long walk through a tunnel, let's just say.
Who's your decorator, Dracula?
Hello. Got him.
You? Got him.
Why are you here, Commander Riker? Hasn't the crew of the Enterprise caused enough damage already?
Here he is.
Hey, did we?
So, you blame us for what has happened to the Borg? You gave me a sense of individuality, changed me, then sent me back to the collective.
Me
must
flirting?
Have known that change would be passed on to others.
We considered it?
After the breakup.
We knew it was a possibility.
Then you made it possible for Lore to dominate us.
I cannot accept that.
Exactly.
Lore is only one. The Borg could have stopped him.
You don't know the condition we were in when he found us. Before my experience on the Enterprise, the Borg were a single-minded collective. The voices in our heads were smooth and flowing.
Like
but
jazz.
After I returned, those voices began to change.
It's like La La Land.
They became uneven, discordant.
He was anxious.
First
he was
time.
His brain.
Individual
he was like a person.
Borg had differing ideas about how to proceed.
Welcome to human.
Couldn't function. Some Borg fought each other.
Welcome to
others
human.
Simply shut themselves down. Many starved to death.
And then Lore came along.
You probably can't imagine what it is like to be so lost and frightened that you
look
will
like...
listen to any voice which promises change.
Even if that voice insists on controlling you.
Trump.
That's what we wanted.
They cut to Riker
someone
with clarity
to
and like
confusion.
You'll see.
Lore promised
clarity and purpose.
And purpose. In the beginning, he seemed like a savior. The promise of becoming a superior race, of becoming fully artificial
they're really
was compelling.
Why is he walking
he
around so much?
He asked of us.
Just have this conversation.
He has a malfunction in like his
no
hip thing is just like going.
This Aaron Sorkin's Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sacrifices. Before we realized it.
Look at that.
This was the result.
Uh-oh. I wanted to show you this disgusting Borg pile.
What happened to them?
Lore began to experiment. Trying to remake us in his image.
Someone
this
put
is the result of my encounter
spilled
with the
soda on
commander.
These guys.
So you can see, I don't particularly welcome your presence here.
It's a long
sorry,
explanation.
Yeah.
We just came to get our people.
He explained dictatorship in like two, four lines. Two paragraphs.
He really did.
To explain
he's like,
all of the dictator, how like a dictator takes over. A
he's like,
country
look.
In disarray.
in 2016, we really thought that the country was past its history of racial violence because we had a black president. Half of us didn't realize the ensuing bigotry that was coming. That's why we blame the Enterprise. It's like, what?
we thought it was solved?
Seemed like has anything to do with us.
That's why I hate you. I hate you and all the friendship we made together when we were cute together.
And Riker's like, I'm sorry, man.
You have to understand what a little cutie he was.
He was a little cutie.
And Riker's internal process is like, okay, I get it.
I'm bound by oath to protect little
cuties.
Those
experiments, like, they're keeping, like, are they tied to something? Are they, like, vegetable lives tied to, like, oxygen? Shouldn't they be in a bed?
Yeah, like, maybe put them out of their misery. Why are they just sitting there?
Yeah, they're there for example. Oh, if that Riker ever shows up here, I can't wait to show him these quivery boardlets.
Guys, you're underestimating
them. Please, I think
them.
Everyone gets it.
No, they're unionized. They have shifts. They
don't
clock
have,
in, they
like,
clock out.
Videos.
It's okay. It's like a Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Do you know what stuck with me was some of the Borg starved to death. And it's like, oh, they eat food?
Yeah.
But I never thought about that.
Well, no, they don't eat food. They eat energy. Because remember that when Hugh's plugging in, he gets like nourishment, like
and
battery
goes,
power.
Delicious.
And their bodies can convert the energy into nutritional.
Nom, 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 nom.
Nom, 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 nom. It's like plugging into an outlet and going like,
This is better than sex.
He's an internal 3D printer for himself.
I feel like the line for brunch is so long. I'm just so hungry.
I wish I'd eaten like a handful of nuts or something before we came here.
Energy nuts, of course.
Energy nuts.
I tell you, I don't enjoy sushi.
Do they have a landlubber's plate here? Some energy chicken.
Poor Borgs, we're making fun of at their expense.
You know what?
This is cultural appropriation.
Ronnie, you're absolutely right, and I apologize.
You know
what?
Sorry,
Borgs. I just had to say it like it is, because that's what's happening here.
That's what's happening here. There's no way around it.
So this is kind of weird to me, because the entire last episode, it was about Picard getting scolded because he released Hugh back into the Borg collective without any kind of regard for the idea that that it's a delicate topic. That the Earth has been attacked several times by the Borg, and we almost all died, and we almost couldn't make it. And he just released this Borg back instead of, like, using him as a program to destroy everything. And Picard is like, but morals. And she's like, you're an idiot. And then Picard is like, aye. All right, yes,
well,
sir.
It's also... No, go ahead.
And then now we knew Hugh was going to bite us in the ass. We just didn't know exactly what happened. And so, like, the only thing we've seen is, like, they got a little more malicious and this guy, like, controlled data through, like, hypnosis or something. He was just very suggestive.
Let me ask this, okay? So this Admiral, she's given Picard a spanking. And she's like, you could have put a bomb inside this guy and sent him back in the Borg and destroyed them. It turns out that's kind of what he did.
Yes, exactly.
They send him back.
Mansplained. So, mansplained, Paul. Mansplained. That's where I was headed.
Was no.
That's what, where my,
I know, but here's my question.
Ese es mi punto. Ese es mi punto, exactamente.
Get off. This is what I'm going to have to. Hey, don't exclude me from the conversation.
She's saying you're saying what she's saying exactly.
But here's my what
that's where
I'm,
I was going, but
this is know. What I'm asking though is did anybody from Earth like check on the Borg? There hadn't been any. There clearly hadn't been any
They've
attacks
been
for a while.
They've been busy,
right? Yeah, the Borg have been busy. But it's like okay, so after we sent that guy Hugh back, were there any Borg attacks after that?
Any
like,
changes? Yeah. Any reports?
Yeah. So it's like it's you know everything would have been fine except for Lore.
Uh-huh.
The Borg, I guess, just would have eventually just died out.
People seem to think that a lot of stuff is Picard's fault that was not Picard's fault here.
He's like, good, and people don't want to admit it.
He did a great thing. He's like, he fucked up the Borg. Then Lore came along, and then this lady's like, you really could have ended them when you had the chance. But now this other absolutely nobody knew was going to happen. unaccounted for outside force came in and look what you did. Yeah. What?
Well, she didn't know. Now we know. It was a big reveal of the previous episode.
Twas a big reveal, but at the same time, we now know.
Twas.
It was
a cliffhanger,
man. Twas. But you could totally see how Paul's point is like, nobody was like looking in on the Borg to see if they were.
Nobody was checking.
Oh, okay. To Paul. Nobody was checking on the Borg.
Nobody was checking on the Borg. They forgot.
Nobody was checking for the Borg.
They forgot to create a position being like, you.
Secretary of Borg.
You're going to check on
Secretary
Borg
of Borg.
Yes.
So just, because they had nothing to do, because the Borg was just totally like not active, they would call themselves more like Secretary of Borg.
Oh, I hope they wouldn't. That's disrespectful. I hope they wouldn't do that because it's a serious thing.
What do you think happened? Hugh connected to everyone else, and then everyone was like, wait, a name, a thing. I have
a
my
name,
own thoughts.
Yes, have yes. my own thoughts.
A it's name, gonna a ruin. Thing. I'm not just a Borg. I'm me.
With a green flesh and weird metal parts.
Borg town.
Welcome to Borgton, population a cube.
A cube.
It's like
not anymore.
It's our town.
Not anymore.
Little Billy Borgs coming in with the energy buckets.
So now they're all like Billy, Torso, Ardis, Scorpion. So they all have
names. I just milked the energy cows.
Wait, is somebody's name Torso? Is that what you said?
That's what I said. Torso. Cow.
It's me,
William.
Billion.
Andrew, let's go. We're all new Borgs.
Ryan, do you know the song? Do you know the song Float On?
Yes.
Do you, or are you just trying to get me to shut the fuck up?
No, I think it is this one. Let's see. Yes, yes, let's assume I do, but let's just assume
the
I
Modest
don't.
Mouse one or the Modest the Mouse. Floaters?
Yeah, I think by the Floaters. Is it by the Floaters, the old group? The
Floaters? Yes.
Yeah. Where the song is, it's 20 minutes long.
Yes.
The only lyrics are Float On, and the rest of it is these guys talking about themselves.
Oh, no. I only know the Modest Mouse one.
Oh, yeah, it's 20 minutes long.
Ow! Wow. This is like, let's get it on.
I got
let's
a
get,
name.
Let's do it.
Let's get a name.
Okay, I'll start.
Individuality. Okay, I thought it already started, but go ahead.
Paul, Virgo. I like a woman who's tall. Too tall for me to see all of her at the same time. If you're such a lady, why don't you let me know? And you could see what love is like with me.
Short. Can't see a ship. I actually can't hear.
Wait. Okay, hold on. Let me turn it down. Veronica, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so do your part.
Wait, but what are we saying? Because I don't understand what
just
Paul was
do-
saying.
You say your name, your astrological sign, and the type of woman that you like. And then you have to sing how great love would be with you.
Okay. Ready?
That's the float on formula.
Go for it.
Veronica. A Gemini. I like the kind of woman who can rap. She got a rap. I like a rap. So you better be rapping like a snap. That's it.
That's it. Nice.
I gave you so much. You don't
know. Yeah, you did. I gave you so much.
You
don't know
so
what's
much.
Part of it.
You have no idea how much I gave you.
All right, Alice. Taurus. I'm a short little guy that likes a woman with a big old boat. You thought I was going to say butt. No. I like to float on in your boat. Hopefully it's a big boat like a catamaran. Call me up and we'll go on your boat together. Let's float on the sailboat. I'm the one in the group who can't sing.
You just took a guttural scream.
You're just a Klingon.
Like, there's that guy in the Backstreet Boys. This is a joke we always had where it's like, everybody's like, okay, go, it's your turn. And he's like, now I can see that we're falling apart from the way that it used to be. Yeah. And everybody's like, go, you know, because it's his big solo.
He has a headphone with the keys. It's like, like the guy.
So stressful.
He has the guy behind him. So what was that song about that we made?
Okay. I'm glad you asked. let me take the second part first. We made it and that song is about astrology. It's about love. Mm-hmm. It's about names. Mm-hmm. And it's about
preferences. Love.
What kind of woman we love.
What kind of woman we love. My name is Larry, and I like a woman who's quiet. That's my favorite. That's my favorite one.
He says that?
Yes, he does. He also says that he introduces himself like this. Larry, cancer. That song, for whatever reason, pops up in our shuffle a lot. Like, we've heard it a bunch of times. And it's incredibly long. There are no lyrics. Float On is it.
Float On is what I heard.
They introduce themselves and talk about, they introduce themselves, I think, four times in the song. And then a couple times they say their astrological signs. And then at one point they say what kind of woman they like.
Thank you for introducing us to that, Paul.
You'll never forget it now.
I never will forget it again.
You'll never forget it.
And if you, if I ever do forget it, you're allowed to, you're going to hate this. You're allowed to come over and say to me,
and I will strike down upon thee with great.
This is the worst one.
Furious
anger. It's the worst one.
Those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers.
That's the worst one. That's like the broiest one.
It's the broiest one.
What do you think is the number one reason he came out, came back to the episode?
Make his health insurance.
Yeah, I would probably say.
I don't think he has a choice on that.
Why, the character or the actor?
Oh, the character.
Character.
The character. Why did he come back?
Why was Hugh brought back, you think?
I feel like you can't really bring back the Borg without, especially in TNG, without bringing back Hugh. And the Borg is like the coolest enemy they have. And it's a big unanswered question that they posed. What happens to a collective-brained society when you introduce the idea of individuality? It's incredibly interesting. And so it's like they had this sitting there waiting. I'm sure they were always planning on bringing it back.
Yeah. Like, as a metaphor for like overthrowing a government, you know, and not having a real plan of what to do next. And somebody can swoop in and take advantage of that.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Yeah. It's, and also the idea of, you know, the themes of humanity with Data and Lore and all that, the Borg, certainly there's a Venn diagram there of themes.
Yeah, there are. And they didn't really, they kind of teased it in the original I, Borg episode, but they didn't really explore it completely.
I mean, we all knew that Hugh was going to be, there was going to be a consequence somewhere, because they were like, what if Hugh goes back to the collective and he makes them individuals now? And like, they pondered it, they talked about it. So they knew this might happen.
Mm-hmm.
When they did that episode. But the main reason they brought him back as a character was
you have an answer to the question asked us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
This is my little plan.
I was all ready to go.
Rick Berman said, I think one reason Hugh came back is they got a lot of mail. Everyone wanted to see Hugh again.
I mean, it does, like, that a character like that does beg for a follow-up. Like,
right?
The idea of you know, they had created this mythology of the Borg. It's such a great, the Borg is such a great idea.
And so scary.
It's such a great sci-fi villain. Yeah. And then this is such a huge thing that they rehabilitate one and then let him go.
Ugh.
And then I wonder if they had not gotten all that mail, if they would have even thought to go back. Because I think they're not, they have not, it's not that they've never set up a huge idea and then never returned to it. Like, that's mm-hmm. happened before.
Yeah.
Many times.
They were like, And here's the consequences of this thing we did two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Or a season, I don't know when.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really great.
But you know, in this episode, what's crazy is that there is not only one huge concept that they are readdressing, they also have a recent episode where there's all these various diplomat scientists who are all trying to figure out how to fly into the sun.
Right. Right.
And they don't know whether that technology got finished or not. And they figure that out in this episode, too.
Right.
That episode was also a Beverly Crusher episode. So no True. Wonder she was flying into the sun. She was like, I'm going to test this bitch because one guy ended up dead.
She's the one who knew about it.
Scoop-a-ba-boo.
The databank should contain information on a process called metaphasic shielding.
Metaphasic shielding, yeah, I know.
About that research, Commander Forge was developing a program that would implement metaphasic properties.
Right, how far along was he?
What's in the databank?
2 days.
Been tested.
If we had metaphasic shielding, we could enter the sun's corona, but the Borg ship wouldn't be able to follow. Can you bring the program online?
Follow.
I can, but we have no way of knowing if the shield will hold.
Sir, hull temperature is rising, now at 12,000 degrees C. Radiation level nearing 10,000 rads. Report. Shields at 62%.
At a certain point, we have to call it hell temperature. Get it? Not a good time for.
Don't get it.
Nope. Aye, sir.
Hull temperature is critical. We can't withstand this.
Oh, hull temperature.
Longer.
Now I get it.
Program Thank is online. You. Engaging metaphasic shield now.
Wait a minute.
No, now. Sorry, now.
Engaging metaphasic shield. He like looks around.
Hull temperature dropping.
Yes.
Down to 7,000 degrees.
Yes.
Maintain course.
I did it.
Straight into the sun.
Borg ship has broken off pursuit.
All stop. Sir, the Borg ship is taking a position relative
Let's
to
Let's just it's sit funny. Here in the wait, sun wait, for wait, a while.
It's funny because they're like, he's like, oh my God, the Borg stopped pursuit instead of being like, we're in the sun.
Yeah.
What in the actual fuck? Like,
well, they're in the corona. So they're not in the sun. They're inside
just like us too, right? We're in the corona.
Hello.
We're in the corona. We're in the
corona.
We're all in the corona in a way. Wear a mask, people. Wear a mask.
Be a little cutie and wear a mask.
Beverly is a truly fiery captain.
Ooh, she's so sexy.
That's a great pause.
The question is, how long can we survive in here?
Inside the sun?
The scream.
Probably a year max.
I like how they're like, oh, good, we're down to 7,000 degrees.
I just hope that this force field has enough
force
energy.
Force field?
Gets force felt.
Trigger the pulse.
You know, Data. I've been thinking about some of the times.
Oh, first he said, you know, Data. It's good we backed it up.
Like that time we went sailing on Davala Lake. You remember that?
The scene had us the first part. August.
I have a complete memory record of that day. You decided to go swimming. And when you jumped out of the boat, you sank straight to the bottom.
I did not have enough buoyancy to get back to the surface.
Yeah.
You had to walk over a kilometer along the bottom to get back to shore.
1 kilometer, 46 meters.
It took almost
They
two
should
weeks
have done an episode that was surface. Just shit like this.
Yeah.
Like where we actually see it. Like them on vacation.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh.
Data. If you ever go back to the way you were, you might not
I'll give
be
you
able
such
to
a
forgive
hug.
Yourself for what you're
that
about
one.
To do.
That one, right there.
I am getting some anomalous readings from your neural net. I will need to do further testing before I proceed. Someone will come and take you back to your cell.
So far, Data has been really like...
Wait, it's right after this is the Borg guys. The two guys walking.
Oh.
So...
And this is like outside of the...
It's two Borgs.
The Getty.
Outside of the Borgopolis. And... two guys walking in a line. Frontal Borg clearly had an idea, like made a choice. Like, I think the Borg walk like this. And so he's sort of like, it's very robotic, arm swinging. The dude behind him is not, it's like he's filling
he
in
looks
for
like
somebody.
He's coming back to set.
Yeah. Like he didn't know they were rolling. Or like he's just like a PA where they're like, we ran out of Borgs. Will you, can we put this stuff on you? What is it's the time so code on that if people want to see it?
That's 3120. Yeah, 3120
and
about.
2226 is the first scene where Data's really mean to Geordi.
Yeah, it's immediately after that scene.
No, it's immediately after the scene where Data and Geordi are talking, which is 30 minutes in exactly.
No, but I'm talking about the first scene between Data and Geordi.
I know, she just, she
Ronnie,
did the,
you jumped
she did
back
the visor.
Again.
She did
you
the visor.
You did the visor maneuver.
I'm just like.
He pulls out the time code for this one scene he's specifically talking about, and you're like, and this time code for this completely other thing is 22.
22-22.
Oh, it's okay. The old Vero visor.
That was a hard about. So we have
I'm gonna
to come,
call you Visorica.
So we're going to have to end this pretty soon.
Yeah.
So I want to see the
this
scene where
Steam.
I know sinful. Wow.
And I don't talk
like how
like
you
that.
Describe chocolate.
Steen and sinful.
That's how you describe a chocolate cake.
I'm just like, frankly, this episode was like a very good start of a season to me. Sometimes
yeah.
they don't start
I'm excited.
This
I'm
like,
excited for Seven.
I'm really excited about Data and Lore. All of every episode they have together and like what it means for technology and that epic battle of like siblings who are rivals is like
and one's a robot.
So juicy to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like I don't know. It's just like Greek to me. So I like this.
It's Greek and juicy.
Yeah.
It's Greek to you.
It's just like the competition between brothers.
You just said it's Greek to me in a completely different meaning of it's Greek to me.
What do you mean?
Normally the phrase it's Greek to me means like I don't understand it. It's like it's a stupid phrase that people use where it's like
American.
I don't know. I don't get it. It's Greek to me. But you just said it's Greek to me. Like
it's like something Greek.
It's like a Greek tragedy.
Yeah. It's
which is amazing.
It's a Greek drama. Of like brotherhood and revenge and masculinity, but we're like not living organisms, but we kind of are. And I have this thing over you with my nail that I lift, and there's circuits where I make you
my manicure, my emotion manicure.
Why does it have to be a fingernail? It's
I
so
know.
Gross,
disturbing.
God, there's a million other things they could have done,
but they had to be disturbing that way. And it's like the soundtrack helps. Everything and the way Lore is dressed is just like when finally like Data is back and Lore tries to get away when everyone's just like rowdy, like, wah! And then Picard notices like, oh my God, well, Data's the only one who could go after Lore. They have to figure out. No one can get in between these two figuring this shit out. Like Picard's
That's
not
family,
gonna do
bro.
I know, man.
It's
like,
family, bro.
Picard's not gonna get in there.
Riker's
that's why
like,
neither
we got
that's why neither of them never married.
Yeah, Deanna's like, sir, we have to go after them. And then Picard has that infamous line where he's like, it's family.
Metaphasic shield.
I just wanted to watch this scene.
Can you stabilize it?
No.
Because she gets him
you
back.
Be able to stay in here longer than another
Tate.
3 or 4 minutes.
Do we have warp engines yet?
I love Tate.
Last estimate was another half hour.
I love Tate.
Sir, I think I have an idea. I think it's possible we could induce a solar fusion eruption that would destroy the Borg ship.
What?
We need to get a very energetic particle beam onto the sun's surface.
What?
That should produce a superfluid gas eruption. If we target the right spot, the eruption would envelop the Borg ship.
How do you know this will work?
I did my senior honors thesis on solar dynamics.
Excuse me, sir, but
By
this
the
is the academy, and a student thesis is a long way from a workable plan.
And you never even
I've
work at the bridge, bitch.
The
shut up.
To create the particle beam, and I've located the target point on the surface.
If her calculations are off, that eruption could encompass us.
I would have already slept
well,
him.
I just have to make sure my calculations are accurate, Luke.
Oh!
Booyah!
Let's do it.
Correct answer.
Amazing.
She fucking got that soap opera, dude.
And then they did it.
The target area of the photosphere is destabilizing. Pressure wave expansion.
Just like I said it would.
Subsurface fusion has been initiated. An eruption is forming on the surface.
His ass got tighter just saying that.
She did it. The Borg ship has been destroyed, sir.
Helm, take us back to the planet.
Can't Full help impulse. But celebrate.
Aye, sir.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have instantly started making out?
Director's cut.
No sexual, you know? No sexual tension there.
True.
Only pure tension.
None at all.
You could, there's always sexual
instead
tension.
Instead of cutting the tension,
when I watch.
Yeah. Well, that's
so.
I have sexual problems. Ugh, no, my fingernail.
Let's see, Lauren Data's goodbye.
Yeah, we've got to have this. Is the last scene we have to watch.
I've got a way and then out Jordy. Of here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm willing to it forget in, what happened. Back
it involves
there.
A little triangle.
Take you with me. We don't need anyone else.
That triangle,
brothers.
Brothers.
I hate the way he says that.
Give you the chip our father made.
Under my nail.
It contains much more than just emotions.
It contains emojis.
There's emoticons.
Stickers.
Memories.
Stickers.
Our father wanted you to have.
Feels back then. Oh, Data shoots him.
Groans.
They were gonna have them fighting and then kill Lauren like in a close combat, but they were like, "No, let's just not. We don't need to do so much." Bye. Sorry. Wow.
Lauren, I must deactivate you now.
Beep, boop, boop, boop.
Without me, you will never feel emotion again. I know.
Yeah, but those emotions.
But you leave me no other choice.
That's how much you suck.
I love you.
Lies.
Brother.
Nope. It's weird that Dr. Soong this put so in a program where they do that robot thing where voices are like, like the Teddy Ruxpin battery
maybe
failing.
Maybe that's where it has to start. You have to start there, with that voice and then add on to it. Do you know what I've been thinking about a lot lately is the teddy bear from AI.
Oh, no. That's how I know you're depressed.
If you drop me, I will break. That line is stuck in my head forever.
How many times do you think they lifted that nail in the entire episode?
Gross.
Oh, too many.
Do you remember that ad for like insurance or something? And it was like a really sad monster that like was homeless for a minute.
Oh, fuck that ad. Yes, I do. Everyone hated it. It was horrible.
It was just like, why was that necessary?
And then at the end, he just has like a peacock tail. He's still a hideous monster.
I know. And people are like, yay. And it's like, what?
You added a decoration.
All right. So this is the last scene with Data and Jordy. It's really meaningful and sad and everybody's going to cry.
And now we're in the last season. I'm going to cry.
I am relieved that the injuries I inflicted on you are not permanent.
Relieved is an emotion, but okay.
What's that? This is
the
chip my father created for me so that I could experience emotion.
Nachos?
I had it removed from Lore's body before he was dismantled.
Oh, Spot, the cat.
This is so great.
I am pleased to say it was damaged when I was forced to fire on Lore.
He looks like he has it.
Pleased.
He's very skinny, that guy.
He looks like he has a hairball.
Yes.
Yes.
But emotions are responsible for what I did to you.
Oh.
I would never risk letting that happen again.
That's how I apologize to everyone.
It's too important to me.
To all my boyfriends, I'm like, emotions got
How is it important to you without emotion? He's just going to shoot it right out of his fucking desk. That really made me laugh.
I know.
Well, it's like if he pulled out a revolver. Just going to shoot this thing right here. Well,
now we have to listen to all of this.
Oh, no, please. Benito Martinez.
I'm trying to turn the volume down. You can't.
Why start now?
That Laura's final God. Scene is similar to the deactivation of the HAL 9000.
That was like what they did to Noriega. Where they played loud music outside his compound.
To whom?
That is kind of what it's like.
It's so loud.
I'm sorry. I still don't have it. It's not.
All right. Let me say this. Final thoughts from me. We'll go around the horn. What do you say?
Let's go around the horn.
Data, ultimately, right about emotions, more trouble than they're worth. They cause a lot of problems, and we'd be better off without them.
That's what all men say.
Such a man's take. My takeaway, Beverly would make a great captain.
Sure.
I think it shows. She Agreed. Was great.
Yeah.
She need to give her the ship.
All the earmarks of great leadership.
I completely got that from this.
And my takeaway is Geordi is a real one.
Geordi's a real down ass.
Shout out to a real one. Yeah.
He's a real one. Because he's like, I'll keep this thing for you for when you're ready. I'll help you, but don't do it like that again. Because, bye.
Yeah, you fucking weirdo. Before you shoot this thing off your desk,
like, I love
why
you.
Don't I just hide it from you? How about that?
Toaster, I love you.
You know what? I was going to write this email, but actually, you know what? I'm going to trash it. No.
Stop shooting at your desk, idiot.
This makes me want to watch the movies, which I haven't seen in forever because
I haven't watched any of them.
Doesn't he eventually get, I feel like he does eventually use the emotion chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The he Nemesis does. Maybe?
Yeah. It gets relaunched. It's a 2.0.
Yeah.
I thought he gets it installed and he can turn it off and on at will. And he like never turns it on or something?
That's the dream.
I mean, that's the dream.
That's the dream. You go into an audition with it turned off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are
it's like a
for
true
that.
Beta blocker. Keep it off until you find out the results of the audition.
They tell you right away. Negative.
They tell you right away. You didn't get it.
Tompkins, negative.
God, I wonder if that would be, if because you would get used to it like you get used to the regular situation. Mm-hmm. If like after an audition, they immediately told you no.
That'd be great.
You're like, or, okay, like, good. Thank you.
Or if you like, instead of they tell you, it's not even in the room, but you walk outside and there's like a red or a green light. It's just like you just wait out and like all the people waiting next to you are like waiting to see and it's like and you're like all right
there's
and everybody
the
goes
thing.
Better luck there, next time
there's three rooms okay there's the audition room there's the waiting room and then there's an ante room
that has
three doors there's the door you enter to go into the audition. Then there's two doors you exit from. Either you got it or you didn't get it. So no one ever sees you in the waiting room, right? They don't know if you got it or not, the ante room. So if you walk out the audition room and the light will be on over one of the doors.
And what happens if it's the good door?
If it's the good door, you go through and you sign a contract.
And if it's the bad door, everybody else is out there?
No.
No
That's why there's three
you
doors. So you exit from one of two doors. You go out the red door, and that takes you to the parking lot.
Just the parking lot. An alley behind casting.
Somebody validates
that's how
you your know, parking,
you,
and then you
That's
leave.
How you know. You're like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Straight to the parking lot.
Yeah, that would be great if you didn't know until you opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
You open the door and there's either people with like,
then you
welcome,
immediately know. Yes.
Like, welcome to the job.
Go through or the green like, light door. They give you the paperwork to sign. You got the part.
Or you open the door and there's just a bird like eating some trash outside. And you're like, well.
They hire the bird. They place the bird in the trash.
I mean, are they going to have that bird there all the time?
No, I'm just saying it might be there.
They hire the bird in what?
In the trash. They were like.
They hire the bird and the trash.
The bird had to walk through the doors too.
For the message to get across the right way.
This was the third bird we saw.
The bird has its own tiny doors.
Performer door.
It's a lemming.
Staff. He's staff.
So, guys, that was the beginning and the end. The end
and
the
beginning. The alpha and the omega.
And the end of the beginning.
Of season 6 and 7 with Veronica Osorio, Paula Tompkins, and myself coming to you.
Guys, this was so much fun. Thank you for having me again.
Beyond. Thank beyond you. Fun.
Beyond.
We've been recording for 4 hours.
It's the greatest.
No wonder I feel a little weird.
My wife is like, you're not done? Like when I went in to get food. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, we have to do the second part now. The second part?
The second part to the third part. There was a lot to cover.
It's true. It's very true.
It's true.
Well, see you later. I miss you so much. Bye.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
I thought she was going to commit to the bit. I thought she was really going to like.
I love when people do
blank
that.
Out. Anyway, yes. Thanks again for having me. This is so much fun. I love you guys. Yay! Goodbye!
He committed.
Forever! Dog!
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all of the latest Forever Dog news.